I'm now joined with Quanley Cladstrup, Concerns Country Director in Haiti, to discuss how their aid workers are still managing to provide humanitarian support to communities there, despite continuous violence in the area. Good afternoon, Quanley. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
You're most welcome. First of all, Quanley, what's the current population of Haiti?
I would say it's about 12 million, but I mean, there hasn't been a real census for a few years now. So, I mean, like, even I think the last records show about 11 million, but I think, you know, it has increased since then to about maybe 12 or 12 and a half.
Okay, and roughly 5 million of that population are facing acute hunger. Would you like to tell us more about this?
They are. I mean, it's, I would say since I've arrived, since August 2019, already we had high, you know, number of people facing being food insecure. And just because, you know, Haiti has been facing crisis after crisis, and because we know humanitarian actors haven't really been able to reach the total in need. So that's why, you know, it's just, we've got more people now being food insecure. And even though, you know, we humanitarian actors are trying to do as best as we can in reaching as many people that, you know, that are being food insecure, there's also lack of funding and investment, you know, so to sort of move people out of that sort of category and in reaching, you know, being more food secure.
Okay. Is it true that Haiti is one of the top five most food insecure countries in the world?
Sadly, it is. And I think that's just because, you know, we haven't been able to fully reach our targets just because of the lack of, you know, funding that's available, but also because of the continued and sustained sort of violence and conflict that's been going on. So we haven't been able to also reach as many people as we would have liked, as we would like to.
Okay. And in some areas, thousands of people are living one step below the technical threshold for famine. Would that be right?
I wouldn't say famine. I'm not sure if famine is the right word, but I think, you know, we have a number of families who are sort of on that borderline. Again, just because they've been faced with a number of shocks, you know, over the past few years, you know, ranging from, you know, the whole social political instability, floods, earthquakes, you know, all sorts of natural disasters. So they haven't really been able to recover. And I mean, I would also say, you know, the country is still really recovering from the 2010 earthquake, which in itself, you know, had great impact. As such, you know, people are still struggling to manage even meeting their basics day-to-day needs. And I think, you know, when you've got the whole sort of inflation as well on top of that, when we have a brain drain, it is a lot harder for people to, you know, meet their daily needs.
Did many people have to flee their homes due to the conflict?
They have. And I mean, the recent displacement of 15,000 people, you know, which we just saw in the past couple of weeks, it isn't anything new, because we've had this sort of phenomenon of forced displacement since June 2021, where, you know, we had areas of Port-au-Prince when we saw about 21,000 people initially displaced. And since then, it's just been continued displacement of populations from one area to another, just because neighborhoods don't know when their neighborhood is going to be attacked. You know, the whole sort of conflict and violence has been going on since 2021. And so we see this continued flow of people having to be displaced. Now it is more intensified than in the past, just because, you know, we are seeing people having to flee at a moment's notice. We see the trauma. They are arriving at, you know, displaced sites, you know, not really knowing where they are just because of the experience they have faced. You know, we have people who are leaving at a moment's notice because of the conflict, but then we have, you know, people who are also, who have witnessed their spouses being killed, children being taken from them, and they having to flee. And, you know, they have no contact with their children. They don't know where they are. They haven't been able to, you know, be in touch with them. So that's just sort of compounded the whole psychosocial aspect and well-being of a number of people, which is, you know, more traumatic now than in the past, where at least, you know, family units were able to move together. But now, you know, we're just having, you know, individuals arriving, not knowing where their other family members are.
Yes, it must be very frightening for many in the current situation.
It is frightening, yeah.
Roughly how many team members from Concern are currently working in Haiti?
So we've got 70 team members, and I mean, CERN has been here since 1994, and we've been working in the metropolitan area of Port-au-Prince since 1996. So we have that very good, you know, community acceptance and understanding of the context, and this is what enables us to continue our work.
Okay, so tell us all about the range of supports that your aid workers are providing to meet the needs of local communities.
Sure. I mean, we have been scaling up our humanitarian response over the past couple of weeks with a focus on, you know, the food assistance, our ongoing sort of activities. And that's basically, you know, responding to 22,000 people and linking them up to local vendors, because in times of heightened security, communities aren't able to move from their neighborhood, and, you know, they're restricted because, you know, people are watching their movements, you know. So our response has been to, you know, identify the most vulnerable within a neighborhood and then link them up with a vendor so that they can continue to purchase, you know, basic food items and to meet their food needs. We also have, you know, we're providing clean water and sanitation within the community, but also in displaced sites. So at least, you know, people do have access to clean drinking water. And what we have really scaled up in the past few months is the referral of cases of sexual and gender-based violence, particularly to the displaced communities. As I was saying earlier, you know, people are coming very traumatized. You do see the look of fear and uncertainty. And for us, you know, that we've had to sort of adapt to that, but then, you know, really scale up the work that we are doing around referrals and just trying to reassure individuals and those who have faced trauma and have experienced the violence, is that, you know, try to bring back their confidence, but also work on their own self-esteem and life skills so that they are able to see hope and, you know, that they will eventually be able to reintegrate back into the community.
Thanks for that. By the way, for anyone interested in donating to CERN, how would they go about it?
So they can donate at www.cern.net or by phoning 0810-410-510. Thank you.
You're welcome. Right, so we leave it there for today, unless anything else you'd like to mention.
I just want to thank everybody for your continued support. I mean, I am deeply grateful for the generosity of CERN's community of supporters. And as that legend of CERN, Angus Finucane, often said, do as much as you can, as well as you can, for as long as you can, for as many as you can. And I mean, that's what inspires us to keep doing what we are. Thanks.
You're welcome. Quadney, thanks again for joining us. Keep up the great work. All the very best. Take care.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Now, that was Quadney Cladstrup, CERN's country director in Haiti, talking about how their aid workers are still managing to provide humanitarian support to communities in the area.